My name is Murray, I'm with my co-host Corey, and we are The Real Guys. This is Sign Radio, and this is The Real Show with two E's. The music you just heard was Mamma Mia by ABBA. Are you a fan of ABBA, Corey?
I'm a big fan of ABBA, Murray.
Oh, excellent. You'll enjoy that one then. We've got a packed show for you today, and we are your number one platform on the airwaves and YouTube for pop culture, film and television discussion. As always, I'm accompanied by my co-host Corey. How are you doing today, Corey?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good. We're also on Instagram, on The Real Show FM, and on Twitter, The Real Show FM as well. And we're on Google, Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Podcasts. Anywhere you get your podcasts, we're there. So today, it's a very intriguing episode, a very unique episode. We'll be taking you through a film that we've both recently watched.
We did.
We'll be giving you a review.
We watched it together, in fact.
We did watch it together. And it's also a happy episode 41. We've broken the 40 mark.
We have. It's episode 41 now. I did some research and discovered that I think I said in the last episode, episode 52 is our 1 year. It's not. Episode 50 is, because two episodes we've missed out on.
Oh, right, okay.
So episode 50 is our 1 year anniversary.
I thought so anyway. I thought episode 50 was our 1 year anyway.
It was supposed to be 52, but one episode we lost and one episode I was ill. So
it didn't go out. So let's get into this. Putting Corey's wonderful discovery aside.
Yes.
Let's get into this episode about a particular film. Now, if you'll indulge me, Corey, I'd like to start off with a little story, if I could.
You can tell you. I'll sit back and relax. It's like,
okay. It's like, let me tell you a little story about. Well, don't be silent. You can offer, you know, you can offer encouraging words as I go on with this.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Let me start off with a little story. Will you indulge me some story time, Corey?
Yes, I will.
Okay. We're going to start off with a man called Nabwana Isaac Geoffrey Godfrey.
Nice.
Okay. Nabwana Isaac Geoffrey Godfrey, who lives in Wakalija in Uganda in Africa. Now, he's never seen a film before. He's never even been in a cinema ever in his life. Growing up in Uganda in Africa. Now, one day, he happens upon a pirate copy of Rambo 3. And he watches it and he's enamoured by the film. He's enamoured by the film. And he endeavours to create the greatest film ever put to cinema. The Uganda's first action-packed movie. Mm. And in 2010, that dream becomes a reality. From his low-budget studio in Kampala, Uganda, in Wakaliwood, which is the sort of Ugandan branch of Hollywood, Ugandan Hollywood almost. It comes out of Raymond Film Productions, and it is a film studio based in Wakalija, in a slum in Uganda's capital of Kampala. And from in 2010, the Ugandan Tarantino almost, Nabwana Isaac Geoffrey Godfrey brings you Who Killed Captain Alex?
Yeah, I mean, it's if you're on the internet often, you probably know this film.
Yes,
I you'll know it through the meme compilations that exist.
Yes, and the trailer that was very infamous a few years ago.
I had seen clips of this film before we decided to sit down and watch this.
Yes.
Before I was subjected to this film.
Mm-hmm. Well, not subjected. I was about to say, if you want to watch this, listener, you can, because the full free unedited film is on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. You can go on it.
To watch from Wakaliwood's official YouTube channel. So if you want to stop listening to this right now and go and watch the film and then come back and listen to our review, you can. We actually had a commentary that was prepared until the file got corrupted. So
yep, we had
a commentary channel that was actually prepared to have a full audio commentary, which you could listen to us. You could almost watch us watch the film, which would have been amazing. But...
yeah, it was a whole thing. It was there. It's our second episode that's got lost.
Yes, well, and what a film it is, Corey. What a film it is. It's a non-budget film made for reportedly under $200.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, the second writer of this film has admitted that it's actually around $85.
Oh, wow.
So.
Wow.
The whole thing was made for around $85 using a camera that was bought for basically nothing and edited on a computer that was made from scraps of mechanics that the director, I'm just going to call him Nabwana Isaac, he's got a very long name, that the director Nabwana Isaac made from junkyards and scrap and edited the whole thing. It's actually a lost film because he can only make one film at a time on this computer. To make room for his next film, he had to get rid of this one.
I mean, yeah, I've got things around me, but I could make several Captain Alexes around with stuff around.
Yeah,
me.
Exactly. But let's actually get into the plot and what a plot it is. All right. Run us down some events.
If you want the plot rundown, right, it's summed up quite nicely in the title. The whole point is who killed Captain Alex.
Yes, and Captain Alex, he's Uganda's best soldier,
yes.
Right?
Yes, he isn't dead at starting the movie. He's around.
Yeah, he's around. You see him. He wears a white shirt. He's
yes, you can always tell who he is because he never takes that shirt off.
No, he always wears the same shirt. But he's Captain Alex, and he's Uganda's best soldier. He's the most decorated officer in Uganda's Defence Force, and he's out to stop who? Who's he out to stop?
He's out to stop the Tiger Mafia.
The Tiger Mafia, that's right.
Which, after watching the film, you will not forget who they are.
No, because someone reminds you. We'll get to who reminds you who they are. But Captain Alex and his team of Ugandan commandos are out to stop the Tiger Mafia and their malevolent leader, Richard.
Yes.
That's right.
That's his name.
And when we were watching this, I couldn't stop laughing at that name.
Yep,
I thought it was an incredibly mundane name for your main villain. Rich, that's a name that strikes fear into the heart, isn't it, Corey?
It's very striking Very striking.
Richard, watch out.
on the Mount Rushmore of villains is Richard.
Richard, yes, the leader of the Tiger Mafia.
Yes.
Actually, I think they started calling him Richard the Tiger Mafia.
We did, yeah.
And that was his full name. Like, his first name was Richard. His last name was the Tiger Mafia. One word.
It was.
But Richard...
Yes.
After Richard is angry at Captain Alex because after an assault on like a deal that the Tiger Mafia were doing, the Ugandan commandos take Richard's brother, who I think is called Timothy or something.
Something like that.
Martin, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
They take him prisoner and Richard is out for revenge. So he sends his female spy, who I think is called Vicky, to, again, very mundane names, to seduce Captain Alex and capture him. But then they find Captain Alex dead.
Yes. Right?
So they find Captain Alex dead and the soldiers are devastated. They're called like John and Paul. They've all got very, very standard names. And Richard is very happy that Captain Alex is dead, but he's angry because no one knows who's killed Captain Alex.
No,
but then
then
we get the best character in the film. And that is the Ugandan Shaolin monk from the Ugandan Shaolin Temple. He's a kung fu master. He's Captain Alex's brother.
He is.
Bruce Yu.
Yes.
Bruce Yu is the name, and kung fu is the game.
Yes. Bruce Yu, who lives in a tree.
He does live in a tree. In a hotel.
I mean, it's such a weird fit, because like, you get introduced to all these people, and it's like, okay, right, cool. Mafia, cool. They don't like Captain Alex, makes sense. Mm-hmm. Captain Alex is dead. Okay, I can see that coming. And then, like, here's his brother, who's just, it's just a Shaolin master.
He's a Kung Fu Shaolin master. He's got great Kung Fu skills. And the action in this film, let's talk about the action, right?
Okay.
Because that's what you're watching the film for, you know, you're not watching it for its political commentary.
I mean, you hear it multiple times throughout the film, it's an action-packed movie.
Yes, and we'll get on to who tells you that. Yes. But the action in this film isn't actually that bad.
You know,
it's actually shot quite well.
For an $85 or whatever budget, yeah.
I've seen A-list blockbusters,
yes,
like, you know, Taken, where it takes 14 cuts for Liam Neeson to jump over a fence, and about 25 cuts for him to disarm a guy with a gun and punch him in the face. These guys, they're doing kung fu kicks and flips. They're doing like bicycle roundhouse kicks and jumping push kicks and stuff, and it's not shot all that badly.
No, it's not.
At least you can tell what's going on.
Yes. It gives you the whole thing of like you said with Liam Neeson and 14 cuts. It's just normally just one or two shots and that's it.
One or two shots, exactly. And all these guys are pretty capable martial artists. There's a bit of trivia here that they actually self-taught themselves kung fu, and they actually take part in martial arts tournaments in Uganda and Africa.
Oh, taking the Jackie Chan route.
They are, yeah.
He was self-taught, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. They self-taught themselves kung fu. And they compete in tournaments in Uganda. So there you go. But yeah, the action isn't all that bad.
It's not.
Yeah,
it's all right.
There's loads of CGI blood squibs, isn't there? And people explode in like fountains of blood. And...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the CGI is not great for for £85, it's fine. You've got helicopters.
Yeah, for
$85.
I mean, the graphics guy was credited.
Yes.
The graphics guy was credited, but though the action is very striking. There's, you know, everyone's wielding an assault rifle and blasting away at each other and making the noises with their mouths.
Well, most people are wielding an assault rifle, except for one guy who's wielding cardboard.
Yeah, there's a man with a cardboard gun. There's a man with a plastic like AK.
Yeah,
they've got they're running around with little toy guns, but it's fine. It's the epitome of, like, especially the final battle of the film.
Yes.
It's just people running around a forest, running around like a forest, a jungle, shooting at each other and jumping over rivers. It looks like tremendous fun, to be honest.
Yeah.
Everybody in this film is having a good time. No one in this film's complaining, I can tell you that. Everyone in this film looks like they're having the time of their lives.
I mean, it's definitely one of the things where, like, it looks like fun just to be
around
it. Yeah,
yeah, because most of them probably has never even been in the film before.
Exactly.
I know that they're people from Nobona Isaac's village who he just kind of said, hey, do you want to be dress up in this camo gear and jump around this jungle and use this gun? He's like, sure. They're just people from his village.
It's like when, like, either you're a film student and you make your first film, or, like, when you're younger and you have a camcorder, and, like, yeah. you get all your friends round, and you just try to just film stuff in the back garden for, like, whatever. It's kind of like that.
It is. It is. And also, I've got to say that to keep production costs low is a bit of trivia, that you'll find that often they're killing the same people. Because an extra that would play a soldier that would die would often play the same soldier and die again. So you can often, especially during the first action scene, you can tell that they're killing the same people over and over again.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of, like, masked characters. There's a guy wearing, like, a Spider-Man mask.
There is. Yep, Spider-Man.
There's a guy, people like, wear a lot of balaclava-clad soldiers get gunned down during that first action scene.
Yeah. I mean, it's a sight to behold.
Definitely.
Yes.
But let's get on to one of the selling points of the movie, if I can call it a selling point. And that is the commentary of the film.
Yeah.
Now, because this is a lost film, no cut of this film exists without this person over it. Hmm. And this person is the local comedian, VJ Emmy is his name. And he is a video joker. Now, what a video joker is to people who are uninitiated with the Ugandan film industry is that often to, you know, spice up a film a bit, they'll have the local comedian come in and make jokes, make jibes over the film. Because apparently that keeps it entertaining.
Yeah.
So,
I'd love it if they did that with other stuff.
I think they should. They should. I was searching YouTube and I found a copy of like Ice Age, but with a Ugandan man talking over it. I was like, oh, this must be a video joker.
That sounds great.
Yeah, yeah. But what he'd say was, because this was marketed as the first VJ in English.
Yeah.
So the first video joker in English. Now, I know he's not fluent, Mr. Emmy. Let's call him that.
Okay, yeah.
But sometimes he gets so excited that I feel like he often doesn't know what to do with himself.
Yeah.
So he'll just say things like, movie. Or who killed Captain Alex? This is the movie. Or something like that. Or the movie's on was a good phrase that he'd like to say.
Yes. It's a lot of like, it's just a lot of, like, it's almost like he has like a list of like phrases. And he's just kind of one of it. He'd like quickly look at the list and say the first one that comes to his head.
Yeah, it was the movie's on or movie. He'll just say randomly.
Yes, and it's like he'll say
super fighter. Remember that one?
Super fighter comes up a lot.
Or action packed like, movie.
I think action packed movie is my favorite.
Action packed movie. he's telling you what the film is, despite the fact you're seeing it already.
Yeah, it's like yes, the movie is on. I'm watching it.
The movie's on. Yeah, the movie is on. I can see that. I can see that, Emmy. I can see the movie's on. But I've rounded up some of my favourite quotes. Okay.
Okay.
I've rounded up some of my favourite quotes from VJ Emmy. I thought you'd indulge me in a bit of quotes here. I actually thought of an idea for a game that we could play.
Right.
I'd give you a word or I'd give you a phrase and you'd have to guess whether it comes from VJ Emmy or not.
Okay.
All right,
okay. I can do this.
So, first one. Yeah. I've got a couple here, okay. Dinosaurs.
I think that does.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It does. It comes when he's looking at a group of birds.
Yeah.
A group of some storks are standing in a field and he just says, dinosaurs. So, okay. Here's another one. rapid action.
You see, that could be from him. But I'm like, what did he say, rapid action? I don't know. It's going to be one of the things where like every single phrase you say is weird, but he says all of them.
Okay, well, maybe. I've got a couple here.
You know what? Okay, no, rapid action, yes. Rapid action.
Yeah, that's correct. He does say rapid action. He does say rapid action.
Of course he does.
Okay, here's the next one. Ugandan kiss. Ugandan kiss.
Okay, I mean, first off, no one actually kisses in this movie.
No, no one kisses in this film.
I'm assuming he means like a punch.
Yeah, someone's been hit in the face.
Say, there was a lot of kicks in this film.
Yeah.
A lot of kicks. Yes. Does it? I'm saying yes, he does.
Yes, he does. He does say Ugandan kiss.
Of course, he does.
Here's another one. This is possibly my favourite.
Okay.
This is serious. Everybody in Uganda knows Kung Fu.
Yes, he does say that. I'm fairly certain he says that.
He does say that. He does say that. Here we go. Here's another one. Super tough, super deadlier.
I mean, okay, right. Again, there is the super fighter who is...
Yes,
who is
super
Bruce
fighter.
He must say it. He must.
Okay. He does. He does yep. say it. You're getting the point that all of these, he says all of these.
I mean, to be fair, you could put any two words together and he's probably said it. Like, you could literally, you could put anything down, you could say he said anything and I probably would still go yes, because you could have said anything.
Right, okay, well, let's just kind of throw away the game mechanic and let me just read some of these, all right? here's a personal favourite. The movie's on, the movie's on, the yeah. movie's on, the tiger's in the cage.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Followed by the words, in all caps, movie, movie, movie.
Yes.
I think he gets so excited and he doesn't quite know what to do with himself.
No, he doesn't. So he literally, he's got like keywords.
He ends up saying anything that comes to mind. Like this, Ugandan Ghetto Air Force.
Nice.
A favourite of mine. the new military commander. He fights drugs and uses drugs.
Nice.
Yeah, that's another good one. You're all dead. I will kill you all. Dot dot dot. In sequel.
In sequel.
In the sequel. And here's a good one. That you may have heard. You are watching Who Killed Captain Alex and the first feed day in English ever. This is how we enjoy movies in Uganda. And now Captain Alex the musical. And that's when the ABBA starts playing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for any listeners who are listening to us on Siren, we didn't just pick ABBA because we like ABBA.
No.
ABBA is, well, there's a version of ABBA. There's an instrumental version of ABBA in this.
Yeah. It's the instrumental version. I've got some facts about that, actually.
Okay, what you got?
But again, this won't be in the podcast edit, but to you lucky Siren listeners out there who are listening on the radio... You'll know that, as Corey said, we didn't just pick ABBA because we like ABBA.
Yes.
Mamma Mia is in this film quite a bit.
It is.
It's an instrumental version. But also, the song we're going to end with, which is Seal's Kiss from a Rose, it appears in this film, and it's a panpipes version.
Oh, very nice.
I found a YouTube video of the song. It's a panpipes version of Kiss from a Rose. So
I used to own panpipes.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, well...
Somewhere, don't know where they've gone, but I used to have a pair of panpipes.
Did you ever play Kiss from a Rose?
I don't think I knew the song back then, to be honest.
Oh, right.
I think I probably just played like Michael Jackson or something, probably.
Oh, I suppose. Well, the panpipes version, if you want to actually listen to it, you can find it on YouTube from the YouTube channel Kazoo Music.
Yeah.
And it's by an artist called Ish. I'm going to try and pronounce this. Okay. Inish Kia.
Okay.
And yep. It's a panpipes version of Kiss from a Rose. So, and strangely enough, it was uploaded 4 years ago, ran on the exact date that the Who Killed Captain Alex film was put to their YouTube channel.
Oh, he must have known.
So, that is either the biggest coincidence in the world, or someone knows something I don't. Now,
probably
let's go on.
Man, I can make some money out of this.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I thought another thing I could do is, throughout this review, sort of pepper VJ Emmy wisdoms.
Okay.
All right? Yeah. So perhaps you could consider he knows the way of using a gun.
Okay.
Okay. So let's get on to some of the characters in this film. Okay. Apart from Captain Alex, Richard, and Bruce Yu, who is a kung fu master...
It is.
There's a lot of kung fu in this. There's a lot of kung fu in this, isn't there?
There's a lot of surprisingly a lot of hand-to-hand combat. Well,
yeah, a lot of hand-to-hand combat.
More
feet-to-feet. But a lot of hand-to-hand combat. A lot of kicking.
Yeah, there's a lot of feet-to-feet combat.
A lot of feet-to-feet combat. People are kicking each other in the head, kicking each other, spin kicking each other. There's loads of kicking. You get it pretty much from the off.
You do. Yeah. Actually, yes.
because there's a bar, there's a scene in a bar.
There is.
Which I assumed was establishing character. By the way, on the audio commentary, which you can't listen to because it doesn't exist anymore, but on our audio commentary, I mentioned I was puzzled at what they were drinking.
Yes.
It looked just like blue water, or...
Did you manage to find out?
I did find out, yes. Oh. It's actually watery paint.
What?
From...
What?
It's not actually drinkable.
Okay.
It's actually leftover paint from the walls of that bar, mixed with water.
Why not just put water on it?
Well, it's Uganda. They probably have water, but they have water problems down there. Water problems there.
You put a mixing water in it anyway.
Well, it's just watery paint. You can't drink it, I imagine. You can't drink it. No one ever takes a drink. I noticed that in the scene as well.
Okay.
I went back and watched it. No one even takes a drink. They're all pretending.
Oh, you went back and watched? Man, that must be good.
I did. I had to check. I thought, because I didn't think when I first watched it, no one ever takes a drink. And no one does.
Okay, fair.
But apart from, as we said, Captain Alex, Richard and the Tiger, yes, and the Tiger Mafia, Richard the Tiger Mafia and Bruce Yu, we have Puffs.
Is it a
mercenary?
Remember
Puffs?
Is it a mercenary?
No, I think Puffs.
No, he's
Puffs
the other
like
one.
The second in command.
He's the one that Richard gets mad because he saved his wife.
He wears a hat.
Yes.
He wears a hat. And Richard says, oh, why did you... His wife is at the deal. His wife is at the deal. But then Puff saves his wife. And Richard's like, why did you save my wife? I've got dozens. He actually does say that.
Yeah.
He does say that. I've got dozens of wives. And then they do a bit of a funny line where Richard sort of takes the gun out of this guy's pocket and then shoots his wife. And then they feel that sound effect plays where it sounds like he's completed a level in Mario, or it goes do you remember that?
I have a vague memory of it's one of the films that I've watched it and I've got some stuff stuck in my head and I don't know why it's stuck in my head.
Oh well.
It's like one of them things where 5 years down the line I'm gonna remember some random thing from this film.
No, fair enough.
For no reason.
So, and there's also Captain Alex's team of Ugandan commandos.
There is.
Now, I'm not sure whether they have a culture of Ugandan commandos or whether they just kind of get hung up on the word. But the word commando appears quite frequently throughout this film.
It gets thrown around a lot.
Everybody's a commando.
Everyone
because
is a commando.
You've got Captain Alex and his Ugandan commandos. You've got there's a Tiger Mafia commando at the end.
Yep.
Sometimes Vijay Emmy will just say the word commando or commandos, multiple.
It's got to make sure who's on screen, what's going on.
You've got gangs of Ugandan commandos going round. I shouldn't say gangs, groups of Ugandan commandos.
A squad.
A squad of Ugandan commandos. And also, I have you to consider, Tiger Mafia, the deadliest gang in Uganda, they walk slow, .. because they think slow.
Yes.
Slow, but sure. Mafioso. It's like I'm reading from a proverbs book.
It is, but no, I can reassure you all these things did get said.
The way he says them is like, if you don't say it instead of his inflection, it sounds like you're reading from a proverbs book.
Yeah, it does.
So
to be fair,
let me consider this, okay?
Uh-huh.
The man is killing us, man. Man, drop the bomb. Man, drop the bomb. Over.
Okay, yep, that's the guy in the helicopter.
Yeah.
This is what I mean. I've got some weird, vague memory where you can say something and my head kind of goes, yep, okay, that's from that bit of the film.
Yeah. So, and it's also quite vulgar at points.
It is.
Like, they've got no problem swearing, and it's surely an 18. It'd be an R in America. They swear in a lot. There's action, people explode in blood and such. The action's fun. The action's got to be. There's a funness, but there's a sort of a kookiness about the action.
Yeah, I mean it has that because it's obviously again with low budget. That's why it kind of works. because it looks a bit like when there's a helicopter that was crushing a building, and then we realise it's
not
crushing
a building. The helicopter squashes the building. there's a story behind that, actually. If you go to the Wikipedia article for this film,
nice,
and you scroll down to production,
mm-hmm.
There's a part where the helicopter scenes were based on the Nabwana Isaacs, the director's experience of the Ugandan Bush War,
right,
which was a conflict that was fought between the resistance, the Liberation Army, and Ugandan rebel groups. So I tried to find a year for it, but hold on, maybe I can actually tell you.
Oh, maybe it's found.
I can. 1980 to 1986, October to March. So
nice.
And there was actually his experience. When he viewed this film, as I said, he's never been to an actual movie theater before. He was invited to a film to watch Who Killed Captain Alex at a film festival in Canada.
Nice.
And there he did it. He recorded an audio commentary with a director's commentary of the film. And he said quite a few interesting trivia bits. Another thing that he doesn't really write a script.
Okay.
Often he'll think of scenes on the fly, or nice. They'll get to the location. They'll get to a location and they'll see what the location has, and then they'll come up with something at the location.
Yeah.
So, or we'll have a rough idea of where he wants the story to go, and they'll just see what they've got to do. But
I mean, understandable. I mean, I can see that.
Yeah, yeah. As in the words of Werner Herzog, I don't use a storyboard. Storyboards are instruments of the cowards. So,
sure.
Now, and the scene with the helicopter, where the helicopter squashes the buildings, right?
Yeah.
That helicopter is actually a helicopter that was designed for carpet bombing that fires missiles behind itself.
Okay.
And it was used by the Ugandan military, and Nabwana Isaac told a story about how him and his brother, when they were younger, were actually chased by one of these helicopters, and they're running through the forest, and the helicopter was coming behind them, and his brother said, "You've got to keep in front of it. You've got to keep running in front of it. It's going to fire behind, it's going to drop bombs behind itself."
Yeah.
So, and I did look it up. Apparently, a version of a carpet bombing helicopter does exist. So,
okay. Nice.
Just in case. But yeah, what was your experience of watching, let's call it the sort of action centerpieces of this film?
I mean, first off, when I watched it, after I watched it, and you mentioned, "Oh, we've seen." Saw Rambo 3. First off, I have not seen any of the Rambos.
No.
Grab your pitchforks for me saying that, but I haven't.
Yeah.
It then made sense. It did also make me wonder what happened if, like, maybe he saw Terminator first, or like some other film first.
Oh, right.
What would who killed Captain Alex be then?
Yeah.
Like, would Bruce Yu be a robot man instead?
Maybe.
But I mean, it was. It's. Right, because obviously, like, I've seen student films, and I've kind of gone, "Oh, you go, oh, it's a student film, it looks bad." But when you see, like, these people doing whatever action scenes, and I'm like,
"Yes,
well, we could do that, technically." And it's like, maybe fair enough.
Do you want to remake Who Killed Captain Alex?
No, but I'm saying, like, you know what, fair enough. Because I think people go, "Oh, it's a student film, it's going to look bad." But they're doing that, and it looks all right.
Yes.
It was surprising. I expected it to be worse, which is saying something, to be fair.
Yes.
But no, it's all right. It's all right. There's a lot of it, to be fair. If you like action and a lot of fighting, this is it.
Yes.
Essentially.
Oh, yes, you do. If you like action, it'll definitely be good for you. It'll be good for you. Now, excuse me, quick. I'm having a silence for a minute.
There we go again.
Super action. Have you considered that?
Proves my point.
Exactly. Have you considered the super action? Super action. S-U-P-A. Not S-U-P-E-R. Super. Yeah. Super. Super action. Because in Uganda, they don't say the words like the or super. They say da and super. So you get super action.
I mean, this
and
makes
the it. The movie's on.
Yes.
And also, on is the movie. Is the movie.
Can you correct me? I believe they were. This has subtitles on it, doesn't it?
It does, yes, because they're speaking Ugandan.
Yeah.
Okay, but Vijay Emmy is also subtitled.
Yes, that's what I meant, yeah.
So you get people saying the lines, and then you get him screaming, movie, 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 the movie's on is the movie.
Yeah.
So it's a bit disconcerting and a bit confusing at times, where people will be in a gun battle and they'll be trying to exchange dialogue, and you'll be having him screaming over the top of it about how the movie's on, and how this is serious, and everybody in Uganda knows kung fu.
I wonder if he watched the film before. I thought it shouldn't, right, sit down, watch it for the first time, and just speak.
I think he just watched it for the first time, and he just was riffing. But I think he gets a bit excited at times. And
yeah, he does.
Also, I'm making German food. German food? We found German tourists. We're cooking them. Oh, very, very good. Save me the head. ... Like Predator.
Yeah.
So we've seen Predator before, clearly, this guy.
I mean, he's yeah, or, you know, Rambo, Predator.
Yeah, yes, Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger action movies.
There's crossover, exactly.
He's seen them. Dare I, Corey, after we've talked about this.
Right.
Dare I ask you for a real rating? Not yet, but okay. Have you thought of one?
I've been going back and forth between what I would give it.
As have I.
Like, I can give it one, but it's going to be one of them ones where it's like, put a pin in it, because it's probably going to change every single time. If someone comes up and asks me, what would you rate it? It will change every single time I get asked.
What I could do is, right, for me, there's two options.
Yeah.
Option one is, I could give this a very low rating.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's made on $85.
Yeah.
It's not, it's the effects are laughably bad at times. I don't know how they're acting, because they're speaking in Uganda. They could be, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, or they could be Tommy Wiseau. You know, we don't know what the level of acting is in Uganda. Yeah. It's the first time I've sort of seen a film from that part of the world.
True.
And I don't know exactly how to judge it. I could give it a bad rating. But on the other hand, this wasn't made with anything else in mind, right?
No.
This was made with creativity. This was made with fun. This was made with a love for action, a love for action, and a love for storytelling, and clearly with people who wanted to be in it. You know, there seemed like there was no, you know, problems. It seemed like it seemed just a wholeheartedly funly made film. You know, yeah, sure, it was made under strained conditions and power outages, but I think it's less of the story about the film, and more of the story of I know what it took to make this film. You know, $85 and a guy who had to delete this film to make his next one, and a guy who's never seen a film in a movie theatre before. And
I mean, in a weird way, it's almost like the reason why this film is made is why a lot of people like movies in the first place. It's not like, it's not like Scorsese, but it's not like, you know, Scorsese is going to make a film because it's going to go to the Oscars and it's going to win awards and it's going to get all these actors in it. It's just people going, I want to make a film, so I'm going to go make a film. I want to make a film.
Exactly.
And it's like, there's that's why people become film students, because they want to make films.
He never expected anyone outside his village would see this film.
Exactly.
And now it's got more than 3 million views on YouTube as of June 2021.
Yeah.
So I checked. So there's... He never imagined this would get anywhere. And
it's one of those things, when it comes to rating films, right, I think you have to remember, especially for me, people have different categories. So if you're rating, like blockbusters, like your Scorsese's and that sort of stuff, and you give, oh, yeah, like I gave Suspiria an 8 out of 10 because it's a great film. When we rate this film, it's not in the same category. We're not rating it for the same reason we're rating other ones.
No, I feel like we're rating it on its experience to watch.
Yeah.
And as well on the sort of background of the film.
I mean, it's like comedy movies, right?
Yeah.
You will never, on like IMDb, or like comedy movies always get low ratings. Always, for the most part. However, there's some great films and people will love them films and they'll be their favourite films. But most of the times, they're like average, but people love them because it's comedy. Is it they love them for a different reason than they love like The Shining or something? Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is a similar thing. Like, this film might get a high rating, but it's getting a high rating for a different reason why other films are getting a high rating.
Yeah, well, we aren't the only one to rate this film highly.
No, this has like an IMDb.
IMDb gives this film an 8.1.
Yes.
And I couldn't find it on Rotten Tomatoes. I did look. I couldn't find it on Rotten Tomatoes, but I did find the profile of the director on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, very nice.
And down in his film section, down in his filmography, Who Killed Captain Alex is rated 100.
Oh.
So
that's certified fresh. I think.
It's that's really how the audience rotten, score. That's the how audience Rotten Tomatoes score works, is 100%.
Yeah.
And there is no critic score. So it must be assumed that the critics also love it.
Yeah.
So because there's no critic score, then there is, you know, it's like that old phrase, no one will notice if no one is around to notice.
Yeah.
So if there's no critic to review, then it must be amazing. And audience score is 100%, and there's no higher praise than that.
I mean, yeah, I mean, if you've got 100%, if you've got 8.1, that's pretty high scores.
So what will it get from us, more importantly? Shall you go first? Who wants to go? You're going to go first.
Right. Okay. For me, it's one. It's definitely getting above a 5.
Right. Don't reason it. Just come out with it, then reason.
7.5.
Oh. Because. And why?
Right. Because, and again, this is a completely different... I gave Suspiria an 8, and Suspiria is by far a better film, technically. However...
Yes.
This film, if you want to kill... How long is it? Like an hour and a half? I can't remember how long it was.
It's an hour 15.
Right. If you want to kill an hour 15, it's a pretty decent option for fun. It's like when like you go to a party, or you have a group of mates around, and you're sitting there, and you're going, oh, what do you want to put on? And you don't want anything, like, serious. You don't want anything that's going to, like, mess with your head.
No.
You just want something fun. Whack this on. You'll be all right.
Exactly.
So it gets a 7.5, not because of how it's technically made, just as how fun is it. It's pretty fun.
Right.
Go watch it.
Thank you. That is a rave review from Corey.
This is where Murray gives it a 3.
No, I'm not giving it a 3. I'm giving it a 9.
Oh.
You were stunned into silence for a second there, Corey.
Oh, okay. I thought, okay, you know what, okay, fairs. Why?
I'm giving it a 9 because, again, it's not the best made film technically. It may not be the best film in dialogue. It may not be the best film in plot. Mm-hmm. It may not be the best film in effects, but it does pretty damn well. And for a film that was made on $85, what else could you ask for? I'm not asking for Oscar-worthy films. I'm not asking for Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm asking for a man who's done the best that he could with the tools that he had and had a dream in his heart, had an idea in his mind, and wanted to put it to the screen. And he has. And he has successfully. So, Who Killed Captain Alex? Uganda's first action-packed movie. And also, Uganda's first action film, got to count for something. And in the words of VJME, expect the unexpectable. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
So that was Who Killed Captain Alex from Raven Film Productions, from Wick Hollywood, Uganda's first action-packed movie. And before Corey gives you his... It is your weekly rec, is it not?
It is mine, yes.
Before you give us your weekly rec, I'm just going to answer the question of who did kill Captain Alex.
Well, who knows?
We never find out.
We don't know.
No one knows who killed Captain Alex, not even the director. So I'm going to leave you with that, and we're going to go on to Corey's weekly rec. What have you got for us?
Yeah. So, funnily enough, this goes along with my whole thing of rating things for different reasons. Because, like I said, 2 weeks ago, I gave Suspiria an 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to clarify, this film, again, is not getting the rating it gets for its technical made. It's getting it for fun.
First off, ask you, is it in any way related to Who Killed Captain Alex?
No.
Well, it's related to your philosophy. It's related to your philosophy about the film.
Yes. Because I am doing something that's only been done once on this show before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm giving something a 10 reels.
No.
Which means we have to review it.
No. Right. Okay. Okay. Well, it better be right. You're going to give this 10 reels.
For
I don't know what
reasons.
It is yet.
You don't. For two reasons. First off, you suggested we watch something, which is Who Killed Captain Alex.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, okay, I've seen a film that most other people view as not a great film. I love the film, so I'm going to make Murray watch it.
Right.
I think it's fun, but however, it is known for being one of the worst animated films.
Oh, okay.
Yep. I'll run through some people that are in it. It came out in 2005. It's an hour 20. Patrick Warburton.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is in it. Anne Hathaway.
Oh, no.
Is in it. Glenn Close.
Oh, yeah.
Is in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to name a few names. Big names.
And what is the title of this film?
It is simply Hoodwinked.
Yes, there we go. I knew you were coming out with that, Corey. You've mentioned it before.
I have, yeah.
And you're giving this a 10 out of 10 reels.
Hell yeah.
You can't, I can't manage to shake you on this.
Nope.
It's getting 10.
Yep.
Right, so we're going to slate that in for future review then, shall we?
It's as far as animation goes, as far as an animation film goes, not the animation itself, it's perfect.
Right, well, is there any reason why it's getting 10? Because I'm for Rogue One, I give it heavy reasoning.
It's getting a 10 for the goat.
Right.
And that's it.
You can't just tack on 10 reels to something that... to something you want to have reviewed purely arbitrarily, Corey.
Listen, you haven't seen it. Trust me. Okay. As soon as you've watched it, you'll be sat there going, yeah, this makes sense.
Right. I better.
I've only ever met, by the way, this isn't going to help my point. I've only ever met one person who has seen this film and likes this film.
Right. So everyone else that you've met, who's seen it, hates it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll see what side I will fall on. But that was Hoodwinked then.
Correct.
And that was Who Killed Captain Alex. We're going to close this episode with Seal's Kiss from a Rose, not the Panpipes version, the actual version.
Yes.
Stay tuned to this space for the review of Hoodwinked and next week's, which I believe will be talking about TV shows from the 2000s.
Correct.
So stay tuned for that and for anything future from The Real Guys. So this was The Real Show. I'm Murray, and a goodbye. And that's Corey.
Goodbye.
Snows, my eyes become alive, and the light that you shine can't be seen. A man can tell you so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain, baby. To me, you're like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Won't you tell me, is that healthy, baby? But did you did you know that when it snows, my eyes become a lot and the light that you shine can't be seen? So much a man can tell me, so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain. To me, you're like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Now, won't you tell me, is a healthy baby? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become a large and the light that you shine can't be seen? The gloom on the grave.